chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 1 through 10 and then verse 21. 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'm just going to come down so I can walk around and be a little closer. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10 and verse 21. When you have it, say, good. Don't have it, say, hold on. All right, we're going to hold on for a minute. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And it reads, "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had become so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, 'Here I am.' So he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' And he said, 'I did not call, lie down again.' And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' He answered, 'I did not call, my son, lie down again.'" This is very important. It says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you did call me.' And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel answered, 'Speak, for your servant hears.'" And then verse 21 says, "Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." This morning, I'm going to ask that you pray with me as we hear God's message, the voice, the voice, the voice. All right, let's pray. Loving Lord, how awesome and wonderful you are. I thank you for being the center of our joy. I thank you for gathering us here today. But I dare not preach your word without asking for your help and your authority, not by my might, nor by my power, but by your Holy Spirit, use me to preach words of life to your people today. Paint on the fabric of their mind, the canvas of their ears, the walls of their heart, a picture of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that each person today has a desire to know you and serve you and accept your invitation to salvation. I pray this in the name above all names, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to say that you all really know this person, Samuel, because his life is so much like yours. Here's what I mean. Maybe you are in your room and you're watching the NFL game, the New Orleans Saints against the Atlanta Falcons. Or scratch that, maybe you're not even watching the game. Maybe you're on your video game and you're playing Madden NFL. And you hear the voice. Young people, you know what I'm talking about. You hear the voice. It's your parent calling you. Now, you don't want to stop what you're doing. But you know it never fails when you're doing something and you don't want to be interrupted, your parents call you. And so you test the waters and you say, yes, ma'am, or yes, sir. And they're not having that. They say, come here. And so you have to stop what you're doing and walk all the way from your room. And maybe your parents are all reclined in the comfy chair, or maybe they're laying in their beds, and you walk all the way in there, and your parents tell you these five famous words. Pass me the remote control. And you look, and they are 1, 2, 3 steps away from the remote control, but you just had to walk about 50 steps to get to them because they are, help me find the right word, they're too comfortable to get up. They're too tired to get up. What? I heard what? No, I'm not saying that. Y'all heard her. I didn't say it. But wait, it gets even worse because you're outside and you're chilling with your friends, and maybe y'all are just talking about nothing. Or maybe you're shooting hoops and your jump shot is on fire and you hear the voice. It's your parent calling you again and you don't want to stop. So you test the water again and you say, yes. And they say, get here right now. And so you come all the way inside to see what they want. And they get that fuzzy look on their face and they look confused and they say, I forgot what I wanted. Now, if you are a parent and you have ever done that to your child, say, please forgive me. If you are a child or a young person and your parents have done that to you, say, the struggle is real. No. So this is similar to what was happening to Samuel. See, Samuel was Eli's right-hand boy because Eli's sons were wicked. And so Samuel served in the tabernacle, and whenever Eli called, he came running. And so this particular night, the Bible tells us a few things. It tells us that it was before dawn because it says the lamps had not yet gone out in the tabernacle. And when the dawn comes, the lamps go out. So it's before dawn. It's when you have your very best sleep. And the Bible says that Samuel hears a voice. And he thinks that it's Eli calling him. So he's not a knucklehead. He gets up and he goes to see what Eli wants. And Eli looks at him, wipes the drool off, and he goes, I didn't call you. Go lie down. Now Samuel thinks it's like when your parents say, oh, I forgot what you want. He thinks that. So he doesn't get upset. He goes, he lies down, and he's about to get comfortable and shut his eyes again. And he hears a voice say, Samuel. And so he gets up, he thinks it's Eli, he runs to Eli again, and he says, yes, Eli, you called me. And Eli maybe is a little impatient this time because he's been waking up twice. He says, I did not call my son. You know how you all do. I did not call my son. Go lie down. And so he goes and he lays down again. And, you know, each time that you get up, it's a little harder to go back to sleep. So I imagine this time Samuel is trying to fluff his pillow. He's trying to get comfortable. Maybe he starts counting sheep. And he's just about to drop off to sleep again when he hears the voice saying, Samuel. And so he gets up and he goes to Eli and he says, yes, Eli, you called me this time. You called me. And Eli perceives that it's God calling Samuel. And Eli does what every adult Christian has the responsibility of doing for the next generation. He teaches a young person how to identify and answer the voice of God. That's the responsibility of every adult Christian. Now, we're going to talk about it because if you don't know how to identify and hear the voice of God, then we're in trouble. So we're going to talk about that a little. And so he tells Samuel, he says, go back. And If you hear this voice calling again, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Samuel goes back to his room. He lies down and he waits and he listens for the voice. And that's when the most significant thing that could ever happen to a human being happens to Samuel. See, the most significant thing, the most important thing that could ever happen to you is not getting your first car. It's not your first kiss. It's not your first house or your first apartment. And for us, those of us who are older, it's not even getting out of debt. The most significant thing that could ever happen to you and me is to hear the voice of God and answer in the affirmative. And this should not be a once a year thing. This should be a daily thing that we hear God and we say yes. I want to tell you four things about the voice of God, and then I'm going to ask you to make some decisions for God, okay? And so let's go to our first slide. I'm going to ask if you could just advance them for me. Okay, number one, God desires a personal relationship with you to give you eternal life. Now, did you notice something about this? God didn't say, hey, boy. God called Samuel by his name. The reason why is because God wants a personal relationship with you and me. See, he knows everything about us. God knows if you go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs or if you get down with cornflakes. God knows if you are really, truly a diehard Saints fan that when we're losing, you still root for the Saints, or if you jump on the Cowboys bandwagon every once in a while. God knows who you really like on Twitter. God knows that when you put that picture on Instagram, he knows everything about you. He knows which one of these hairs are mine and which one of them I bought from the beauty store. God knows everything about you. But God is not satisfied with just knowing you. He wants you to know him too. God is saying, I don't want a one-way relationship. And if anybody has ever been in a one-way relationship, you know you give, you give, you give, and somebody else just takes and takes and takes. God wants it to be a reciprocal relationship. He calls Samuel by his name. But I want you to notice something. The Bible says Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Samuel, you all, worked in the tabernacle, but he didn't know the Lord. Samuel ministered day after day, hour after hour, but he did not know the Lord. Samuel hung around holy people. He went to church, but Samuel did not yet know the Lord. And there are some people sitting here in Berean who hang around holy folks, who go to church Sabbath after Sabbath, but you do not yet know the Lord. The good news is the word yet. That means there is still time and there is still hope. And that's why this sermon is so important today. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Can I tell you, there was a time in my life when I did not yet know the Lord? See, when we were growing up, and my mom could testify to this, we used to go to this little church in the country, the kind of church that had the cemetery in the yard, in the churchyard. And I remember we used to have the car washed. The station wagon would get washed, but before we got up to the church, it would be dirty again because it was one of those little dirt roads. And we would be at church all day long. And it didn't have these nice cushions on the pews. Those are the hard wooden pews. And so, you know, it was a Sunday church. So we'd have Sunday school. Then we'd have worship service. We'd eat. Then we'd have testimony service. And then we'd have some activities in the evening. And I remember the testimony service. There was this lady who would sit in front of us. And she had this gigantic hat, the hat lady. The hat lady got me upset because I could never see because of her hat. But that wasn't the worst of it. The hat lady had this habit of shouting or getting happy. in the testimony service. And when the pastor would get up and he starts saying, he put food on my table, hat lady would get up and she would go for about 5 or 10 minutes. And you know, the ushers come and they fan you and they encourage her a little bit and then they step away when she's gone too long. And I remember the hat lady would go and her hat would come off. And I remember one day the pin came off the hat and my sister Mimi said, I ought to stick her with this pin and make her shut up. Well, thank you, Pastor. See, I didn't understand what the hat lady was shouting about. I didn't understand why she would get so excited about God putting food on her table. I just didn't understand because I had not lived life yet. See, I hadn't gone off to college and found out that ramen noodles is a gourmet meal. I hadn't realized that, you know, raisins is a staple in your diet when you're broke and you're poor, and peanut butter sandwich, man, whether you got jelly or you got some syrup, you know, peanut butter and jelly, you know, peanut butter became my diet when I was in college. I didn't know that God provides when you're broke and you don't know how you're going to pay your bill. See, I lived a little and I found out some things about God, that when your money is funny and your change is strange, God is right there and he can provide for you in ways that you can never, ever imagine. See, I hadn't lived yet and I hadn't gotten the phone call yet that my sister had gotten shot. And I remember coming home and my nieces and nephew and the whole family pitched in to help raise my nieces and nephews. But it was a struggle. And there were days that the food was low and you were scratching your head. And there were Christmases where we were thinking, man, what are we going to get the kids? And there would be a knock on the door and someone would be giving a turkey. Or there'd be a knock on the door and somebody would say, you need to go here and you can get some toys for the kids, you know. There was lots of love in the house, but there wasn't always lots of money in the house. And I'm telling you, I found out that God is faithful. I found out that God cares about you. Even the little things that you don't tell anybody else about, God is listening to your heart and he sees and he knows. I found out that God can be trusted and that his word, man, when you start praying God's word back to him, he's got to answer. He's got to respond. I found out, you all, that God truly is love. And I want to tell you today, if you don't yet know God, it's time now to know him. Don't stand for what your mama knows about God, what your daddy, your brother, your uncle, your Sabbath school teacher, the elders, the pastor. You need to know God for yourself. And here's how you get to know God. 1 Samuel 3:21 says, God revealed himself to Samuel how? By the word of God. If you don't know God, you got to get back into the word. If you are distant from God, you got to get back in the word. If you're in trouble and you run away from God, that's the wrong direction. Run to God. Get back in the word. That is how God reveals himself to us, is through his word, through the Bible. Samuel did not yet know the Lord, but God revealed himself to Samuel. Next point. This is important why you have to know God. Let's read this together. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. Eternal life is knowing God. Eternal life starts on this earth by us being in relationship with God. We die, or some of us, hopefully me, we'll see him coming in the crowds, and then we experience eternal life on another level. But it starts here on this earth by knowing God. Next slide. Second point, Your friendship with God will grow as you prioritize your relationship with God. So, in other words, next slide. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things are going to be added to you. Here's what I mean. There are things that I love to do. I like to cook. I like to gab on the phone or text my best friends. I like to go sailing. I got a sailing certificate a couple of years ago, and I'm going to work and become, you know, a skipper. And then the next one, I'll be able to captain my own boat. But I love to sail. I love to parasail. Whenever I go to Florida or somewhere where there's water, I like to get up high and see the whole world as the boat speeds by. There's some things that I just love to do. But those things have to be prioritized. And there are things that you love to do. Some of you love to watch football. Some of you love to watch basketball. Some of you, you know, you love to go shopping. And those things are okay, but they cannot come before God. See, you got to put God first, and all other things are going to be added. And I want to illustrate to you. I need two volunteers. These two. Would you all come and help me for a minute? Come help me. I want to help you to understand anything that is eternal, that's going to lead to eternal life, that's what you put first. And so the ball is going to represent, would you bounce the ball for me? That's going to represent the eternal. The bubbles are going to burst as soon as they hit the ground. So that's going to be the temporary. All right? Well, they didn't. All right. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call out a list of things, and you all are going to tell them if it's eternal or if it's temporary. If it's eternal, tell me your name.
Jarvis.
Jarvis is going to bounce the ball. If it's temporary,
Armani.
Armani is going to blow a bubble. All right, so we're going to start off with something easy because I've already told you this one, studying the Bible. All right, he's going to bounce. All right. Forgiving others. All right, eternal. Having consistent prayer time. Going shopping for new clothes. Helping people in need. All right. Being on your school's debate or basketball team. Playing video games. So many young people are looking at me like, nah, that's eternal. All right, getting overtime at work. All right. I got a good one for you. Watching Game of Thrones or Empire. All right, you all need to leave that Game of Thrones and Empire alone. But that's another sermon. Worshiping with others at church. All right. Thank you, Jarvis, and thank you, Armani. You get to keep this if you would like it. And you get to keep that if you would like it. Thank you for your help. Here's the thing. I get it. I really do. Because I'm a human being just like you. You just make up your mind. I'm going to study God's word. You set your alarm clock, and you find yourself hitting snooze, hitting snooze, hitting snooze. And then you get up, and you're already 15 minutes late. You got to get kids to school, or you got to get to work, or you have to get to school yourself. And so you say, okay, I'll do it at lunchtime. And so you rush off to work, and lunchtime comes and your boss says you got to do this and you don't have time to get a bite to eat. And then you say, well, Lord, I'm going to get with you in the evening time and after taking kids to practice or after going to your second job, it's evening time, you come home and you just want to rest. You grab something to eat and you want to put your foot back and relax and watch TV and you find yourself, you're asleep. And the next day comes and you're already 15 minutes late and the cycle repeats itself. I get it. But notice, Samuel doesn't go right back to sleep. He prioritized listening for the voice of God. And the reason was he realized his life was jacked up, you all. He did not have a perfect life. He had baby mama drama in his house. He was given away to serve in the tabernacle while his other brothers and sisters stayed at home. He didn't look like the other kids. He couldn't cut his hair. He couldn't wear the latest frohawk, or whatever people were wearing. He didn't wear the latest Jordans. He dressed in a linen ephod, and his work was dedicated to God. And as a child, you know, that's a hard thing. But Samuel knew he needed God. And when you realize you need God to survive, then you start prioritizing. You start opening the word of God. You start praying. You start saying, this is something I like to do, but it's not more important than me getting close to God. And so when that alarm goes off, you got to get up. And if you're going to fall asleep reading the word of God, get out the bed and walk and read. If reading is a problem for you, then listen to the word of God. The Bible was actually meant to be read. I mean, to be listened to. People would read it and the children of Israel would listen to it. And so what I'm saying is put God first. Put him first and you will see your life changing. Number three. Let's go to the next one. You will hear God's voice as you practice or obey God's word. Here's what I mean. The things that you know God has told you to do, you got to do it. And God will reveal himself more and more to you. See, there's some people who whine to me, oh, Pastor Hoy, God never talks to me. I don't understand why he talks to her and to him, and he never talks to me. And I ask them about their life. And they are disobedient to God in these different areas that they think it's okay to be disobedient to God in. But sin separates us from God. It's like the radio waves. They are continuous. But you have to turn it on and tune it in. So it's not that God stops talking to you. He's still talking to you. His word is living. His word is there. He's always trying to knock at the door of your heart and get your attention. The problem is that you and I have turned him off so we can go and sin, and then we try to come back and turn him on when we need something for him. That's a one-way relationship. God is saying to us, I want you all the time. And the more you obey God's word, the more you'll hear him speaking to you. The Bible says that, you know, he who is faithful in little will be faithful in much. Yeah. Here's some examples. Let's go to the next slide. All right. This is Luke 11:28. It says, let's read it together. He replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Let's go to the next one. First John 2:3-5 says, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete. How do we know that we love God? We do what God tells us to do. Let's go to the next one. All right. Can we play? I want you to listen to this sound and tell me what this is. Who is that? Pastor Davis. How did you all know that was Pastor Davis? Thank you. You have heard his voice, but you haven't just heard it. You've interacted with it. Let's go to the next slide. Yeah, that's Pastor Davis. Let's go to the next one. All right. Who is that? Pastor Wegar. And how do you know that that's Pastor Wegar? Because you've spent time listening and interacting with Pastor Wegar. When you spend time listening and interacting with God's word, you are going to be able to recognize his word, his voice out of all the other voices. And here's what I tell my young people. I tell them there are only two voices in the world, God's voice and everybody else. Two voices in the world, God's voice and then everybody else's. You got to train yourself to hear God's voice. Let's go to the next slide. When I read the Bible, I try to interact with God. And so I'm talking to him. I start with prayer. I pray while I'm reading. If I don't understand something, I ask God questions. And here are the things that I ask God. When I'm reading a particular passage, I don't read for speed, I read for understanding. I don't put in, you know, sometimes we like to just read and say, Lord, I put in my time. You know, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. As a youth, I used to, you know, I'm going to read God's word. I'm going to read the shortest psalm that I can read, and then I'm going to keep on going. Well, read for understanding. And know this, God is going to speak to you when you read his word. He wants to speak to you. And so if you believe that, then you will read the word differently. I ask, Lord, is there a sin that I need to confess? Two, is there a promise you want me to claim from this scripture? Three, is there an attitude that I need to adjust or change? Four, is there a commandment that I need to obey? And five, is there an example you want me to follow? That acronym is SPACE. And so I'm interaction, acting. Let's go to the next slide. I always said you got to ask God for help. Read before, during, and after. And then use a Bible translation that you can understand. There is no law that says you have to read the King James Version, okay? There's no law that says that. Read a Bible translation that is easy for you to understand, and then study the word of God. Don't just flip through it. Study the word of God, and you will hear God speaking to you, and your life is going to change when you hear God speaking, but you got to obey. All right? Let's go to the next slide. God gives us his word because he wants us to know him, and he wants us to walk the very best path for our life. Now, we get all excited about people and things, and sometimes we put God on the back burner. But God is saying, I have the best path for your life, and I want you to walk with me, okay? It's all right. It's all right. My phone goes off sometimes too, and I forget, so it's all right. So here's the thing. God knows the best path for your life, and he wants you to have the best life possible because he made you. He knows everything about you. And so God is always saying to you, come follow me, and I'm going to give you the very best. We have got to choose God. And I want to say, especially to my young people, the world really is going to tell you this way is better. God's way is the very best way. You know, I work with young people, and a lot of my young people talk to me about weed and You know, they always talking about smoking weed, and they're talking about it's herbal, Pastor Hoy. It's herbal. It's all right. And, you know, and I'm like, no, it's not all right. Here's why. Because, you know, you got a reason. And so I say, well, when you smoke weed, what do you want to do? And they say they want to eat and they want to sleep. And I say, if you want to eat and sleep, and when you get back up, what do you want to do? They say, smoke more weed. And I'm like, so tell me how that helps you fulfill your purpose in life if all you want to do is smoke weed, eat, and sleep. You're not fulfilling a purpose except for smoking weed, eating, and sleeping, you know? And so the destiny God has for you, you can't have, because all you want to do is smoke weed, eat, and drink. Sleep, thanks, yeah. So you gotta believe God has a purpose for your life. And so I wanna illustrate this last point. I need a teenager to help me. Got a teenager in the audience who wants to help me? Erica, I turned 40 several years now. I have turned 40, and it was before that I was always, my niece and nephew tell you, I was always 18. And you would ask them how old I was, they would say 18. Because I would drill it in their mind that I'm 18. And then I got to the point where they were like, nah, you're not 18. So now I just, you know, repeat the years, the even years. So, all right, Erica. You all have seen that game on this TV, Deal or No Deal, where there are these big cases, and there's $1 million in one of those cases, and people have to choose the right case. Where our life is just like that. We have all of these cases to open, all these decisions or choices to make in life. And the difference is God knows the best path for your life, and he wants you to choose it. He knows what's in the envelopes, and he's going to tell you the best envelope to choose through his word. Now, you've got to trust God. And so I want you to imagine that I'm God, and we have all of these envelopes to choose from. I'm going to let you touch them. Can't open them, but I'm going to let you feel them, and you to choose the envelope that you want. All right. If I were to tell you this is not the best envelope for you, would you trust me? All right. See, that's the answer we should be giving God, that yes, I will trust. All right. I'm going to let you open it. It's not the best envelope, but I want you to see what's in it. It says the Freddy card. In Las Vegas, my car stays dirty, so I got this little card that I could get unlimited car washes. So it won't do you any good here unless y'all have a Freddy. All right. Which one do you want to choose next? All right. This is not the best card, but I'm going to let you open it. All right. What do you have? All right, now somebody just said that's a good one for me. But there's something even better. And here's the thing, in life, there are gonna be good things that come. And you gotta know that just because it seems good, it's not necessarily good. See, that guy who looks good and he's fine and you think he is it, but he's got a temper and he mistreats you and all of those kinds of things, he's not the best. God has something better. Or guys, that girl who you think, oh, man, she is just the world to you, but, you know, she doesn't know God, and she leads you to do things that God doesn't want you to do, that's not the best for you. All right. All right, so that was not the best for you. All right. This one is not the best for you. Because at this time, my mouth always gets dry, so I need that. All right, this is the best envelope for you. because you trusted me, both are yours. Give somebody as a gift or, all right. Thank you for demonstrating. Let me wrap this up. Let me wrap it up for you. Here's what God wants you to know. He wants you to have a personal relationship with him. He wants it to be that you trust him, that you are talking to him, that you are getting to know him through his word. God wants you to prioritize him. Put him first above all the other things. And then God wants you to practice or obey his word. And I have this this bottle with ketchup in it. And this is an obedient ketchup bottle. Because when I tell the ketchup to go to the bottom, it's going to go to the bottom. Ketchup, go to the bottom. Ketchup, go to the top. Ketchup, go to the bottom. Go back to the top. Obedient, huh? God wants you to be obedient like that. When he tells you something, he wants you to do it. When you read it in his word, I'm just squeezing the bottle, that's all. Just the pressure, I squeeze from the behind. Don't want y'all to go, Pastor Hoyt teaching us witchcraft. God wants you to obey. And then God wants you to know he's got the best path for your life. Two voices, God's voice and everybody else's. If you really believe God loves you, that he created you, that he's got a plan for your life, and even when the difficult circumstances come, God is there for you. If you believe that, then you will choose to obey him and you will choose to do his will and you will seek him out every single day and throughout the day. To close, there's some people here who don't yet know the Lord, but you are not content just hearing about God. Today, you've heard a little bit about Samuel. And you've heard a little bit about how to know God. The good news is pretty easy because God is seeking you out. And he's giving you his word to get to know him. That's the good news. The good news is that you have a choice. That you can say, yes, Lord, I want to know you. I'm just going to ask you, close your eyes and talk with God for a minute. Everybody just close your eyes. Lord, do I really know you? Or is it that I just know about you? And if the answer is, I just know about you, I don't really know you, then it's time to choose God. I can tell you, my life has changed from when I did not yet know God to when I know God. And I want to say it is a growing process. I know God better this year than I knew him last year. God has showed up and he has bailed me out of situations that I got myself into. And he didn't get upset with me. He said, just learn to trust. He's not got a lightning bolt waiting to strike you down. His arms are open wide, and he's like, I love you, and I want the very best for you. You don't know God, and you have a desire to know him better. I'm going to simply ask you to raise your hand where you are. You do not yet know God, and you have a desire to know him. You want the best choice for your life. And you're saying, yes, Lord, lead me. My my second appeal. Maybe you do know God, but you have not been prioritizing God. You have been putting other things in place of God. And your relationship is suffering a little bit. And you're saying, Lord, I want to put you first again. Help me to seek you first. If that's you, I'm simply going to ask that you raise your hand where you are. God sees you. God sees you. Third appeal. You obey God in some things, and you do your own thing for other things. And you know today from hearing God's word that in order to recognize his voice and to have a relationship, you have got to obey God. And if you're struggling with something, or you got people in your life who keep leading you down the wrong path, today is a new day. And you're saying, Lord, I want to obey. I want to do your will. That's you. I'm going to simply ask you to raise your hand where you are. Lord, I want to obey. I want to put sin away. God sees you. Last appeal. God knows the best path for your life. And you're saying, yes, Lord, I want that path. I want the best here on earth, and I want eternal life. That's you. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I want the best on earth, and I want eternal life. Loving Lord, thank you for Samuel revealing yourself to him and showing us that you reveal yourself to us through your word. It is my prayer that each person here knows you and has eternal life. It is my prayer, Lord, that each person here puts you first in their life. It's my prayer that everybody here obeys you, Lord, no matter what the cost. And finally, Lord, we claim your promise that you will order our steps in your word and that you will give us the best life possible. And then, Lord, on that day when you come again, we all want to be among the redeemed, singing, standing on the sea of glass, singing the songs that only the redeemed can sing. We want eternal life. We want to enjoy you forever. Thank you, Lord, for each person here. Thank you for Pastor Wegar. I pray a special prayer for him today and for his family, asking, Lord, that you touch him, asking, Lord, that you provide healing for his eyes, asking, Lord, that you lead him as he shepherds your people, creating him a clean heart and renew a right spirit within him. And, Lord, may everyone here today and those that we love meet you in the clouds of glory and be with you forever is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Did not our hearts burn within us?